Once again, wonderful joy to gather together within the household of faith. And as we gather for worship, just a couple of reminders and a couple of things. Number one, thank you to all who helped to make last week's large coffee hour a real good blessing. And what a wonderful time of celebration that was. And truly enjoyable. Our mission of the month, this month, is the Danielle's House. And as we receive donations today, that would go toward Danielle's House. That's a shelter for the homeless in Amsterdam. The next Jenny's Lunch will be this coming Thursday, the 26th at noon. And the menu will be Sloppy Joe, coleslaw, and dessert. I think I might be late getting to that this week, just to make mention for those who are here for that. I have an event before that that ends at 11 o'clock. And hopefully we'll be able to get here just in time to pray, to eat, and also to have our time of sharing together in Bible study. Is there something you wish to give up for Lent? It says collection jars are available to which to deposit a donation and during this time of Lent. First Sunday in Lent on today. A reverse craft fair will be held May 2nd at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Please see Nancy Gore, Fran Kugler, Marianne Jones, or Linda Foote for details regarding that. And what a wonderful time had on last Wednesday with the distribution of ashes. And a great time of meeting people and talking with folks who would come by and drive up, which reminds us, and it seems almost real soon to announce this, but our Monday Thursday service will be here at Wastana. And then we'll also do the Good Friday service. And then as we have done for a number of years, on Easter Sunday, we have the sunrise service and the pancake breakfast, and also Easter Sunday worship. So please be mindful of those dates that's coming up. And speaking of things that's coming up, Vacation Bible School will be here also before you know it, between June 27th and the 31st are the days that we will do that. And if you'd like to volunteer for that or have refreshment ideas, if you will see Nancy Gore regarding that. And then we're going to suspend or not have our coffee time after church today. I'm a little bit concerned about the coming weather and want to make sure people get to where you're going at the right time and before getting. I'm not saying you can't stick around and talk. Please do that. But we will not have a coffee time downstairs. All right, are there any other, I see Nancy's hand.
Okay. For the Vacation Bible School, they notified me that the materials should be mailed out the first week of March. So I'm hoping towards maybe the last week of March to have a meeting so everybody can look at the material that we have for Vacation Bible School.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Are there any others? All right, seeing none, hearing none, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Thank you, Fran. Our introit this morning, 458, is the phrase, "The gentle shepherd come and lead us." Let us join together as we sing. Our synthesis this morning will come to us from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
So when the woman saw that the tree was
then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise, hymn number 4, "How Great Thou Art." you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, whose Son Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, yet without sin, we confess before you that we have sinned. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weaknesses. We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. Hear us, Holy Father, as we spend a few moments in silent prayer and reflection. Hear us as we pray. In this season of Lent, strengthen our resolve to walk in your ways, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our God. Just before we're seated, let us affirm what we believe by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Hear these words our Lord Jesus Christ have said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Our words of assurance will come to us from Psalm number 32. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, sir. The 32nd Psalm, if you wish to follow along, it's on page number 488 in your Pew Bible. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I declared not my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to thee at a time of distress. In the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. Thou art a hiding place for me. Thou preservest me from trouble. Thou dost encompass me with the deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you, but not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, else it will not keep with you. Many are the pangs of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds him who trusts the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all your upright in heart.
This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Right now, our choir will come with Ministry of Music, my tribute.
So on. share a children's sermon because all of us are children of God. And during this time of the first Sunday in Lent, we've already celebrated Ash Wednesday, and the first Sunday of Lent is upon us. Hello? Boy, this is I'm in church right now. Yeah, I have my phone. You want me to do what? A joke? Yeah, just a real quick one, real fast, instead of waiting. Well, as you know, I'm not really on the phone. But how uncomfortable that might be if that were the case. You may say, well, how in the world can he do that? I mean, that's rude. And I wonder how often I do that to God. You see, God is speaking to me and communing with me, and I said, well, hold on, I'm going to take something else. Oh, he'll understand. You'll understand, you know. It doesn't happen too often. A friend, that's never happened before. So, you know, if you could play a little bit while I, you know, talk on the phone, that might be really nice. And everything, ooh, you should hear the things you'll say to me afterwards. But, that sort of thing. And yet, we forget that in a similar way, that we might feel slighted, upset, disrespected, because someone is not paying attention to us. How much more does God, when we interrupt his talking to us? So in this Lenten season, as we go throughout Lent process, however we'll do it, whatever our disciplines might be, let us be mindful of ways in which we might not listen to God as intently as we ought to. And then let us be mindful that if we do that, how that might affect him as it affects us. Father God, we come to worship you. We're so grateful that you are present here. Remind us, Holy God, that you delight in meeting with us as well. And you like and enjoy speaking to us as well. Help us to be ready to listen, willing to listen. Forgive us when we interrupt your time of speaking. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, and turn to our next hymn of praise, 380. If you're able to stand with us, we'd like you to do so at this time.
Grant it, Jesus, it is mine.
Thank you. Please be seated. Father God, in zest and ways in which we express in song, we desire to have a closer walk with you during this time of Lent and even through each and every day of our lives and journey on this earth. And as part of our journey, we learn more about you, and so we ask that you will bless your word to our hearing and to our living. Speak to us of eternal things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will come to us from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 4, and verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these will I give thee if thou wilt but fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I took the first word in verse 1 and the last two words in that same verse to make up the title, "Then the devil." Then the devil. Jesus was baptized in the earlier part of this section in Matthew at the end of chapter 3, and how wonderful that must have been. I think of parents who bring their, Christy, I have a baptism certificate in the back, and when we shake hands, I'll bring it to you. That just reminded me. When you get this age, 39, you forget things. And I recall when folks are baptized, and they bring their children to be baptized, and sometimes they're dressed in white, and particularly the girls in a beautiful dress, and how gorgeous they look, and how wonderful of a circumstance that is. And then oftentimes after the baptism celebration, there's a family gathering and they have a cake and people do. It's just a wonderful time. And Jesus was baptized. Well, there was no white garment. Certainly there was no cake. But there was a dove and there was a voice. And the dove that lighted on Jesus' shoulder symbolized the Holy Spirit, and the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What a nice time that must have been. Jesus in his baptism. Sometimes you and I are going through things and things are going pretty well. And you have a pretty good day. And it just seems like everything has fallen into place. And all of a sudden, then the devil. than the devil. When that happens, sometimes platitudes and good vibes are ineffective, and we try to say, oh, it will work out somehow. But it seems like the devil comes when we are seeking to serve and worship God, and he will come and try to disrupt that opportunity. I like a poem that Egner Guest wrote some years ago. I'll just cite two frames from that. He has four stanzas. I'll just use two. When things go wrong, bless you, by the way, next time, please. When things go wrong, as it sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, when you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. You know, that sounds pretty good, and for some of us, I use this oftentimes when things are going kind of difficult, and I quote that, and I say, keep on going, McCurd, keep on going, McCurd. But I wonder what it was for Jesus. You see, in Jesus' case, it wasn't that Jesus was just doing some wonderful things, and all of a sudden, then the devil came. But if you will notice the text, the Bible says that Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And I thought about that. He was led. That word led brings about the idea of being compelled. The Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness more so than the Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness. Jesus was controlled by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, yes, and he showed forth what God wanted in his will, yes, and all that. But at this moment, the Spirit says, go into the wilderness. And yet God, fully knowing that temptation will happen, led him into the wilderness. And while Jesus was there, the Bible says the devil came and he tempted Jesus for 40 days. Now, some of us have chosen to go through this 40-day Lenten season, and I'm not going to tell you what I gave up, and hopefully I'll keep giving it up. And it's not any food, and I've learned to grow against that. But yet, we chose to do those things. Jesus, while fasting, desired his closeness with the Father. And while that was going on, the devil came down and he started to tempt Jesus. And I would like us to notice three ways in which he tempted Jesus very quickly. The first way was he tempted Jesus to turn the stones into bread. And oftentimes when I think about that, I think of banana bread. Colleen makes banana bread oftentimes, and she gives them out. And it's torture being in that house and smelling that bread and knowing I can't touch it. Oh, it's for someone else, she tells me. Someone who's not feeling well, she's baking it for someone else. But I look and I smell, oh, boy, does that smell good. Every now and then we go out to a restaurant other than McDonald's. Her birthday is coming up, by the way, Tuesday. So I'll take her to the Golden Arches Steakhouse. But every now and then we will go to a restaurant and they'll have those nice hot rolls out and steaming in the basket. And boy, they look good. And how cruel it must have been that Satan would say to Jesus, "You hungry? You see that stone that looks just like a real piece of banana bread?" He might have said that to him. "Why don't you turn into it? You can do it. You could do anything." Now, I'll imagine, like we, if you're hungry, that would sound pretty good at that time, wouldn't it? But notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You shall not, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Where did Jesus get that from? Jesus remembered, as he was studying scripture growing up, way back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 3 says those words. And I thought how wonderful it is that Jesus will use scripture to counter Satan's attack. You know, that's why it's so wonderful to read the word of God. And sometimes every now and then verses come up and they help us during those times. But then, you know, the devil, as he often is like, rarely ever gives up. So he tried a second time, and the Bible says, then the devil takes him up to a high holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at that time thou dost thy foot against the stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." You know, Satan is no dummy, even though he's not all that. He's not one we shall follow, not all that smart. And when Satan saw that Jesus quoted scripture, Satan said, "I can do the same thing." And so Satan began to quote the Psalms, and he quoted it pretty well. And you think, "All right, well, now what do we do?" I mean, I thought I could take the word of God and I can battle against Satan, but he knows it. Yeah, he knows it, but he misquotes it. He uses it wrong. He uses it to entrap us. And he used it to trap Jesus. Because even though Satan knew chapter and verse, he was there when it was written, you still don't tempt the Lord your God. So Jesus decided to go to the sixth chapter in Deuteronomy and say, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God," chapter 6 and verse 16. Finally, the last temptation comes, the third temptation. Again, the devil takes him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He said to them, "All these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve." You know, it's quite interesting that scripture tells us that Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of this world, and you would kind of question, well, how could he do that? I thought that God was God supreme and he's sovereign over all. Yes, he is. He's God supreme. Oh, you got that right. But the Bible also says that Satan, the devil, is the god of this world, small G-O-D. And one of the things that Satan loves to do is to offer power. If he can offer people power and prestige and money and all the rest of the things, he can try to pervert them. And Satan said, "You know, Jesus, if you can get to the highest point of this old mountain, and you look at all the kingdoms of the world, and you can be ruler of it all, who wouldn't want that?"
Kent McCurd, ruler of all the nations. I can just walk anywhere and go into any McDonald's or Burger King and have my food. No one will charge me anything. I'm a ruler. That's mine. That belongs to me. Oh, how wonderful that is. And then Jesus responded to him. And at this time, Jesus went to Deuteronomy 6 again, and he went to verse 13. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shall you serve. You see, Jesus faced those 40 days of temptation from the devil. He did so successfully. I'm so glad he did. And I don't know what our Lenten journey will look like. I don't know what we'll face during these days up until Easter. I know God does. I don't even know if the devil will even try to interrupt and try to mess with us a little bit, get us off track, get us distracted, get us listening to other things instead of listening to God. The phone might ring, and we'll take that phone call and say, hold on, God, for at least a little while, and I'll get back to you. I don't know how that might look. But in the similar way that our text began in verse number 1, notice with me in verse number 11 that it ends in a similar way. Those three words show up again. Then the devil. But I like what it says after that. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. The devil left him, and here comes the angels. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what the angels did to minister, but I know they comforted Jesus. I know they helped him in their time. So I'll close with these words. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisterin, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father God, how much we thank you for your word. How much we're grateful and thankful also as we enter into this journey of faith that we're traveling. Whether we celebrate Lent or not, each day that we travel, we seek to travel with you. Thank you that you encourage us to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to always be abounding in your work, and to know that our labor is not in vain. To God be the glory for what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our tithes and our offerings, and I believe the mission of the month. Yes, and the mission of the month.
for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We pray your blessing upon the ministry of this church and also the work of Danielle's house. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pass the peace. Also to commune with our God. What a day that's going to be when we all get to heaven and we're up there and all these things of earth are passed away and we would be with our loved ones who've gone on, who's up there right now with us, all of our pets that's there. And we don't have to worry about somebody interrupting the time to say, go back to your seats. Please be quiet. But we can keep on communing. What a joy that would be. As we go to the Lord in prayer, and as I catch my breath, I wonder, are there prayer requests we wish to share? Yes, Gracia? Yes. So for Axel and for Leslie and include Randy.
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right. I'm sorry. You said something.
I said thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. You're welcome. Are there any others? Yes, Craig.
I have a praise. A while back, we prayed for my coworker who was Lou Pomerini, who had a massive stroke.
Yes. Oh, wonderful.
He's in resting at his home in Hurley, New York. So I want to praise God for healing him.
Stroke. All right. Praise God for that. Are there any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can gather together in your presence. Thank you, Holy Father, that we can lift our voices in prayer to you. A moment ago, we talked about how it must be when you're talking to us and we kind of turn away. One of the things we do know
is that when we are talking to you and when we are praying to you, Scripture reminds us that you pay attention, you listen, and you love the time that we spend. One of the hymns we sing is, oh, I come to the garden alone, and the dew is on the roses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. How wonderful it is for that type of scenario. It's true in our walk of faith. And then you invite us to come before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And so we do so for Leslie. We pray that as she is receiving care in the ICU, that you would use the wisdom and the knowledge of the staff at the hospital into which she is a patient to give proper care, speed healing. We pray for Randy as he goes back and forth and seek to give care. We pray for Axel, who is recuperating from heart procedure. And we pray, Father, that as things continue to heal in Axel's body, that you'll give grace, be with Axel's parents and loved ones as they also give care. We pray for our shut-ins and many that we know who are not feeling well and who have succumbed to various sicknesses and colds. We lift them before you. We pray, Father, for our world and its struggle and its wars and its discord and its hollerings and fightings. We pray, Father, for those who are going through some very challenging times. And maybe there's depression and no one else knows, but there's a battle going on there. Maybe it's financial. Maybe, Father, it's loneliness. Maybe, Father, it's worry, not knowing how things will work out. Whatever those needs are, Holy Father, we place before you the throne of your mercy, the condition of our world, our community, our homes, and our families. We rejoice in the joys that we can share, and we've heard about Lou and how he's doing better from his stroke, and perhaps some of us to bear testimony of other things as well. We give you the praise, you the honor, you the glory, Holy Father. And as we spend a few moments in silent prayer, we ask, Holy Father, that you will hear our prayers. We remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, and turn to our last hymn of praise. Lead on, O King Eternal.
Through
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.